Island. Pleasure Island. But the law, suppose they...
No, no, there's no risk. They never come back as boys.
Why do we own that?
Okay. Episode count. I've forgotten
whatever.
What it is.
Episode
so
whatever.
That's episode whatever. Is Pinocchio, the Disney 1940 film.
The second animated feature film Disney ever made.
And it's the first, I believe, Disney movie we're going to do.
We did Finding Dory.
That doesn't really count.
Is it Pixar?
I'm talking
like classic.
2D Disney animated film.
Classic.
And we own an awful lot of them.
We do.
Cassie, why do we own that?
Well, I don't think it's just me. I think both of us kind of decided that we wanted to own every animated Disney film because, is it more so of me than you?
There was a time when I was behind you on this quest.
We both love Disney. Disney World and Disney films, I think we can both agree that we both adore them.
Yes.
Pinocchio, we went through a few Christmases where we asked my parents, I made a list of every Disney film that we didn't, bless you, Minnie. I made a list of every Disney film that we didn't own, and then I kind of gave that to my parents for Christmas, and over the past few years, they've just been giving us films for Christmas.
Yes.
And this is one of them. I owned this on VHS as a child. Used to watch it a lot. And,
You think they gave this to us for Christmas?
Yeah. A few years ago. Why?
You think they found it on, eBay or something? Because this DVD is very old. One of the things we came across was that
yeah.
this is it's full screen,
mm-hmm.
which is, fine. I don't love full screen.
Right. Yeah, I know.
But it's full screen.
Mm-hmm.
It's got 14 minutes of unskippable previews followed by no menu before the movie.
They probably found it on Amazon or something.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But you do think it was a recent purchase, not something that you had lying around your house.
It is a Blu-ray.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
You sure?
Yes, I'm sure.
Oh, you're right. It's not. Oh. It is the 70th anniversary Platinum Edition. So let's go 70 years from 1940. It was released in 2010. So they had
that's,
to have...
See, that's interesting. I would have even said
earlier
than that.
Yeah,
but,
I agree.
All right.
But I think we probably didn't ask for this one on Blu-ray. I think there were some we were these are ones that we absolutely adored that were our favorites. We asked for on Blu-ray, and I think ones that we didn't love as much, we asked for just regular.
That's fair.
But yeah, long story short, I'm 99% sure that they gave it to us for Christmas.
Okay. But I guess the...
And it had been in shrink wrap since.
All right. But that's... Yeah, right. This is one of those ones that we
shrink
never...
Shrink wrapped.
All right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. To your first question there of, am I behind the idea of owning everyone ever? Not really anymore. Because we went down that path, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we got... one of the ones that we bought that we ended up getting rid of was Princess and the Frog.
Which I want back again.
But you don't. Because... We wouldn't have gotten rid of it if you liked it all that much.
The music's great.
The music is great.
I think...
But it's kind of forgettable outside of that. But we're not talking about that movie.
Yeah,
the point is...
No.
The point is, I feel like there's a handful from, the 40s and 50s that I don't love.
But the ones from the 90s.
Right, and there's a handful of ones from, the 60s and 70s, too, that I don't love.
So you're behind the idea of owning...
The ones that we like.
The ones that we like and watch.
I would say, in general, Disney films I will give more leeway to in terms of...
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of, ownability.
Right.
I will give a mediocre Disney film, Disney animated film, more... credence in terms of owning it than a mediocre action film from the 90s or whatever.
Right,
any
right.
of the other
yeah,
things that
yeah,
I love.
I agree. There's something that's just so comforting about Disney films, kind of no matter how ridiculous they are.
I agree. But
Pinocchio.
Let's talk about Pinocchio specifically.
Boy, you know, I, when I was little, I used to love to watch this film because I had, like, no memory of much of anything in this film, except for the Monstro the Whale scene. And it wasn't scary to me because one of my favorite childhood memories is of my grandfather doing an uncanny impression, like really, really, really good, of Pinocchio swimming underwater and going, Papa Geppetto, but Grandpa could do it. And he could, like, make his throat gurgle in a way that it sounded like he was underwater.
Okay.
And Grandpa would, like, reenact the entire Papa Geppetto, Pinocchio, Monstro the Whale scene. And it was really weird, but I thought it was the coolest, weirdest thing ever. And that is my main memory associated with this film. But going back and watching it, it's scary as fuck.
Yeah, it's dark.
It's really a terrifying movie.
I think, like, what's really interesting is that all of the supporting characters, essentially, who aren't Jiminy, they're all, like, they have some really...
Not the Blue Fairy.
Right, I'm sorry, from the adventure part of the movie.
Yeah.
They're all, like, really grotesquely scary. There's,
The stagecoach driver?
The stagecoach driver, the Pleasure Island guy?
Yeah.
He's terrifying.
He's really terrifying.
And there's the moment where his face, like, changes into, like, demonic almost mm-hmm. when he says, they won't come back as boys or whatever he said. I mean, he looks like Bilbo in Fellowship of the Ring where he just flashes that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, even, like, Honest John and Gideon are scary.
They are, in their own way. It's because, you know, what I think is interesting about Honest John and Gideon, just visually, they're obviously, they're animals, duh. But all of Honest John's clothes are way too small on him, and all of Kitty's clothes...
Gideon.
He calls him Kitty. His name is Gideon?
Oh, yeah.
Both? Okay. I didn't catch that.
Giddy, maybe.
Giddy. Oh, it might be Giddy. He is a cat, but he might be Giddy. Ah! Oh, that makes sense. All of his clothes are huge on him, which I think is an interesting...
Yeah, totally.
Kind of just...
They're certainly meant to be comedic.
But they're abducting a child over and over and over again.
Yeah, and the other one, too, Stromboli, or Stromboli, whatever you call him, like, he is clearly meant to be funny as well. You know, like, when he tromps around in the hole, like, everything is shaking in the...
Right. But then he says, I'm going to chop you into firewood.
Yeah, and hurls an axe.
And throws him into a cage.
Yeah. There's so much of this movie, and that's not even counting the Monstro scene.
I think Monstro probably started my horrific fear of the ocean.
Interesting.
At a young age, because I am terrified of the ocean, as you may not know, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fascinated by sea creatures, but the ocean scares the shit out of me.
Right.
And I can't pinpoint a time in my life where there would have been a reason for me to be afraid of the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to clearly be just like a subconscious thing that over time I just became afraid of the ocean for some reason. They turn into donkeys.
Yeah. The Pleasure Island sequence in general is scary. Like, and you know, when Lampwick turns into a donkey via, like, shadow transformation.
Oh my
like,
god,
that's
yeah,
terrifying.
For real.
There's so much about this movie that's just really scary.
But what about aesthetically and, like, artistically?
Mm.
I think it's...
It's gorgeous.
It's beautiful. I know I mentioned this earlier just to you, but how all, like, the background shots and, like, the faraway shots are all gorgeous, like, watercolor paintings.
Yeah.
And they're just absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, yep.
And the 2D animation itself, I like, it's 1940, which baffles me, but it's so fluid and detailed, and it just...
Yeah.
It looks gorgeous.
It does. And I think, like, when you compare it to Snow White, which was only...
3 years earlier.
3 years earlier. It looks totally different.
Totally different. Like, I agree.
It's like the Snow White's face is sort of famously featureless, you know, like they didn't really know what to do. And Blue Fairy is like maybe a little on that path.
She's animated totally differently. If you look at her, she doesn't like all the other characters have like she's actually, you know, the film is playing in on mute in the background now too. But watching this Monstro scene, he's animated the same way the Blue Fairy is, which is all the characters have like intense black lines around them, just outlining them, and the Blue Fairy doesn't. And I'm looking now, and Monstro doesn't either.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, because you see how like they all have like everything has a black line. Yep, it makes them more cartoony.
Yeah.
But the Blue Fairy almost looks fuzzy in a way, ethereal. And kind of featureless.
Absolutely.
And Monstro doesn't have fine lines around him either, which also, I think, makes it easier for him to be more fluid in the water.
Yep, that's probably true.
And he's also... he looks much more like a watercolor than the other characters. The other characters are like, this part is red, and this part is green, and this part is blue. And whereas Monster and the Blue Fairy, you can't really pinpoint color blocks on
them. Yeah, yeah. Well, that's very interesting.
That was the daughter of art
history.
Yeah.
But I guess the my major issue with the movie, and it's not even I hate to say that I have an issue with Pinocchio, it's not that, it's just plot wise and I know it's because they you know are building off of a book that was episodic, right. But like it's so it's like Alice in Wonderland in that way, like mm-hmm. It's just so all over the place plot wise
it is
that I just don't, it's hard to follow, it's hard to make a character arc, it's hard to we were talking about...
They crammed a lot into a short film. It's only 88 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. We were talking about how there's a big difference between the movies of the 40s
mm-hmm.
and, like, Cinderella, which is 1950, I think, right? So even though Alice...
It's 50 or 55. Yeah, I'm going to look that up now, but keep talking.
I think Lady and the Tramp is 55.
I think you're probably right.
And so Alice in Wonderland is after, I think it's...
50.
Yeah, Alice in Wonderland is 50 as well, I think. But there's something that turns in the history of Disney in 1950 with Cinderella, where even though Alice in Wonderland and Peter Pan happen after, and they kind of have more of this style, like episodic, new characters being introduced every 10 minutes, you know,
I feel like Peter Pan less so than Alice, but no, I guess with the...
I agree with you,
yeah.
But like, you know, in Peter Pan,
but
you have the What Makes the Red Man Red sequence,
oh,
and like, you know what I mean? Like, you have these new...
we're never getting rid of Peter Pan.
No, I know that. No, I'm not saying we
I
should.
I just got this tattoo.
And I'm not saying that we should get rid of Pinocchio either. I'm just saying that there's a difference mm-hmm. between the movies of the 50s and the movies of the 40s, and
agreed.
I like the movies of the 50s better.
That's
like, I would watch Peter Pan or Cinderella... or Lady and the Tramp.
And character-wise, like, with character develop, like, okay, Figaro, can we stop and talk about how cute Figaro is? Figaro is a fantastic, I think, example of Disney starting to figure out the whole supporting character sidekick thing.
Silent sidekick.
Figaro is a fantastic
that they
sidekick.
Perfected in Pascal in Tangled.
Oh my god. For real. Pascal is like Figaro 75 years later.
Yeah.
That's an excellent point.
Yeah.
Oh my god, so
woo!
True.
Film student points make.
But it's they managed to make you fall in love with Figaro in this film without any dialogue and just legit animation.
Yeah.
And I think they kind of took that concept and learned it. Expanded it over time, and like in Cinderella, like Gus especially, because Gus says very little except like Lucifer, Gus
yeah,
and stuff like
yeah,
that in
yeah.
Cinderella, but he's wonderful.
Yeah,
and I feel like,
but they have that in Snow White too with Dopey.
Yeah, but
I understand what you're I
with
yes.
animals, I guess.
Yes.
Dopey was, you know,
that
they're
that...
just mocking midgets.
No, I agree with you, because I think, you know, if you think about the movies from when we were kids, even in a movie that maybe isn't the best, like a Pocahontas, you know, Miko and Flit
are great.
Stand out as mm-hmm. and even the dog from that movie, Pugsley.
With his love of bubble baths and cherries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are all, you know, fun little character, the cricket in Mulan, like, the, you know, mm-hmm. all these fun little characters that... young kids love, but also stick with us as we age. Like, I don't know. I'm a fan of Figaro. I'm a fan of Cleo the fish. I don't necessarily get the love for Geppetto, other than When You Wish Upon a Star, which I get.
Why does he bring his cat and fish on a boat with him?
Yeah.
To find Pinocchio.
Yeah, I guess because otherwise they would have had to figure out a way for, you know, someone to come and feed the fish and cat at home.
Geppetto does not have friends. How does Geppetto make a living? Does he sell his clocks?
I guess he's a clock seller, but also he makes
puppets.
So, like, I can understand why he's alone.
I mean, 100%, clearly. Yeah.
You imagine Geppetto on a Tinder date?
Oh my god.
Like, what do you do? What is he doing? I make clocks.
Can I tell you about that one time?
And also puppets.
One time, this little boy I made, I loved him so much, he came alive for me.
He became a real boy.
His wooden nose grew. Okay. And we're done.
I actually really think it's interesting that the major, like, pop culture thing that stuck with everyone about Pinocchio is the "when you lie, your nose grows," right? I mean, that's been made fun of and parodied and referenced, you know, in thousands of other pieces of pop culture. It's literally about 60 seconds of this movie, and then never talked about again. It's so interesting. What made it out of this movie and not, you know, the donkey scene?
I remember the donkey scene really scaring me when I was little. I remember distinctly when he takes a big, giant drag on that cigar, and the awful...
Yeah.
I mean, you and I even had a really adverse reaction to watching that. We were like, oh,
yeah, it's gross. Yeah.
But I remember that really scaring me.
Totally.
When I was little, because I didn't... When you're little, you don't understand. When you're like 4 or 5, you don't understand what he's smoking or what he's doing. It just looks like something that can happen to anybody.
Yeah, and he just gets sick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, turns green.
Yep.
It's one of those moments in the thing where I was like, wait, does he have lungs?
Is he going to have flesh fire?
Or is that bad for his wood? Like, how does all that work? I don't
really understand.
I don't get it. Yeah, it's just terrifying. It's terrifying in the way that Snow White wasn't. You could maybe say that Snow White, the witch could be scary at times.
But that's a totally
And like the trees that grab at her can be scary in that sequence. But in general, that's a very easy watch for all age groups, whereas I feel like this movie, I would be, if I was a parent, I might be reticent to show it to a kid until they were like, well, you know, 5 or 6.
If you look at Disney World, there's no real Pinocchio. There's like the Pinocchio house where you eat, but no other Pinocchio ride.
I think
attraction.
I think there may have been a dark ride, back in the like early, like even Disneyland, early days.
He's in some of the parades.
Yeah, him though.
Just him.
I've seen Honest John around for sure. Yeah, because I've always loved. So he like pops up and I'm like, what the? Who are you?
Why are you here? Also, the Pinocchio house just doesn't have good food. No, we always think their pizza is going to be good, and it's never good pizza.
Yeah. I don't know. It's an interesting one. It really is. I would never begrudge someone who said, like, I remember I got into it with someone on Facebook one time because I was talking about how racist Dumbo is.
So racist. And like, Jim Crow.
And like, there are people who were born in, you know, maybe born in the 40s or even 50s who just grew up with, that's what they grew up with. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, he was defending
And they don't want to believe that Dumbo is racist because it's their childhood film, and I get that. But I don't have any complaints like that about this movie. My complaint about this movie is that I literally just don't like it as much as I like some of the other films of the era.
Yeah.
It's not one that I'm gonna be like, oh, let's watch a Disney movie. Let's watch a Disney classic. I pick Pinocchio. I would always pick Peter Pan or Lady and the Tramp, specifically, over all of the other films from that era.
This also came out the same year as Fantasia.
And Fantasia is great and scary in its own way, but I mean, that's a tough watch, too.
Sometimes. Okay, so are we going to keep it or are we going to get rid of it?
Count it off.
One, two, three.
Keep it.
Oh, I was thinking you were going to get rid of it.
No, I wouldn't get rid of it. What I would say is, I'm in no rush to go out and finish this collection with Aristocats and Black Cauldron and
Sword
in the Stone.
We're not missing that many.
Dumbo? I don't think we own Dumbo.
Yeah, we do.
Well, that's going to be an interesting podcast someday. I'm going to say keep it to this movie, but I'm going to list it.
List it?
I'm gonna
Are
list
you
it.
Irish?
No, I'm making fun of that HGTV show.
Oh, you're gonna love it.
I'm gonna love it for Pinocchio, but I'm gonna list it for the notion of finishing this Disney collection. I don't think it's necessary.
I don't believe we ended that podcast with an HGTV reference.
It's a sign of the times.